Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathCultProds.com anime and manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. Head over to $6shirts.com and get some awesome t-shirts for only $6. And if you buy any 10 t-shirts, you get 10 bucks off your order, so 10 shirts for only $50. It's a pretty good deal. So, head over to $6shirts.com, click link at the bottom of the page, or any of the banners of the site featuring very hairy Mr. Bean, and get yourself some awesome t-shirts. $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. While our shirts are not as cheap, we do have some pretty good ones. So please, head over to DeathCultProds.com/store and check some of those out. As always, we're constantly accepting shirt design, art, and ideas if you guys have them and would like to give them to us for some reason. If you do feel like giving them to us for some reason, please don't hesitate to send them to Bubby1 at DeathCultProds.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it and we put it on some stuff, we'll be able to pay you based on what the products sell if it is art. If you give us a design idea and we use it, we will greatly appreciate it. We can't actually pay you if we use it. We can credit you, but we can't pay you. Sorry, it's business stuffs. So again, that is Bovion at DeathStoreProds.com or the t-shirt design thread in the forums. Also, it is that time of year again. DeathStoreProds is participating in Extra Life. So for those who don't know, Extra Life is an annual 24-hour gaming marathon to help raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals in our area. This year, DeathStoreProds is playing for the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. So, this year the event will be held on November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. Or if you can't be able to make it that time, you can do it basically whenever. So, this year we are trying to raise $1,000 to help the Sick Kids Foundation. So please, if you have the money to donate, head over to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. That is deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. There's a big banner at the bottom of the page. You can click it, that'll take you right to the page. So please head over to donate. And if you can't donate, please join the team and help us fundraise. Anything you guys can do will help. And it'll all be going toward a really great cause. So again, that is deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. I'm your host, the Den Man. Joining today, as always, we have Budgetron.
Ahoy!
Bovion is off, I don't know, making money?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something totally pointless that takes away from the important things, like talking about anime on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Pudge, what have you been reading and watching lately?
Alright. Now, I was kind of debating which one to go to talk about first here, because one is certainly a conversation starter, and the other is honestly a better series, but...
Your conversation starters usually work pretty well.
Yeah. But let's start with SE. That's the title. Simple. SE as in systems engineer.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, a real introspective title there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's basically the gist of it. Our main character, who I'm not entirely sure his name, is a new employee at... It's called Sunrise Incorporated. You know, a small sort of computer science
evil
firm kind of thing. And he shows up, and as it turns out, the company he's working for is developing a sex sleeve.
Sex sleeve or slave?
Sleeve.
Sleeve, okay.
As in the...
Own a hole.
Masturbatory thing.
Yeah.
And...
things that I don't know anything about.
So, it's a small company. And the other thing is, it's run by a middle school student.
Wait,
he's
what?
The president.
What?
She's a genius programmer.
This.
And she has her own company and is making sex toys.
Okay, up to that point, up to that last sentence, up to that last bit of the sentence, I was totally okay with this. I was like, okay, yeah, middle schooler running a fucking company. Yeah, we've seen stupider things.
Yeah, but I could suspend my disbelief.
Yeah. It's like, it's way more plausible than a pig running a corporation and doing well at it. But a middle school girl, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Running a company making sex toys.
Well, I suppose it's just one.
But making multiple copies of that one sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
So it still plays. No.
But honestly, it's an entertaining series to read.
I'd imagine so, but I might have a bit of trouble getting past the, you know, middle school girl trying to sell me a cock sleeve.
Yeah.
I just watched Waterworld. Pedophilia is still on my mind.
Yeah. It has some kinks in the road, I guess, but...
Oh god, that just made it worse.
But yeah, and naturally our intrepid protagonist had no idea that any of this was going on.
Clearly.
At this company he was just hired at.
How old is this guy?
And how old is he? He's just out of college, I think.
Okay, so... I was going to say, if he was in middle school too.
No. Everybody else is the ages you might expect to be working at an independent firm like that.
Yes, firm.
Yes.
Get it? Like a penis. It's been a while since I've used Get It Like a Penis on a podcast, not just commentary. Please, you need Get It Like a Penis t-shirts.
I looked at it and it says he's 22. So yes, he's...
Okay. He's young go-getter.
Out of university, and he is programming, you know...
Sex toys.
Smart functions of a sex sleeve.
Oh, so it's a high-tech,
yes,
smart sex sleeve.
Yeah.
It has Wi-Fi, you can download apps on it. You play Angry Birds while you're jerking off.
Yeah, but apparently it's a learning
force thing. Feedback Angry Birds on your dick.
But yeah, it's not a series that really... You know, there are those occasional series that are about certain things that are expressly there to expose you to the world of that.
Yes.
Can't think of an example, but, you know, it's not... This isn't a series that is meant to give you a primer on code.
Yeah, this is just kind of
how to code things.
I'm guessing this guy is going to hear foretell-alls.
Yeah. That's basically it. And it's entertaining. That's it's fairly recent. Started a couple months ago, I think. Think my timeline's right. But yeah. And yeah. You know, small company, I think there's 5 characters.
Okay.
Including the president. And so it's a very small company. There's 3 programmers, the manager, and then there's the middle school girl who's the president. So you get to learn the people and so on and so forth.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it sounds interesting, except for that one thing.
Yeah.
Anything else?
But seriously, it's not that big of a hindrance to the manga.
Yeah, I get the feeling that's like the way you would talk about it is like it's not like the oh hey look the all the thing. It's just it's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how far away they might get from it or like the scene that has nothing to do with it, I'm just always in the back of my mind. Like any scene this girl's in, it's like. She runs a company making cock sleeves.
Yeah, she's a genius. She makes her living however she likes.
She knows the market.
Eccentric.
Yeah, she
That's
knows
certainly a way to describe her.
She Excellent. Knows what the people want. What the people want is to jerk off. This girl, 2014 or 2016 or whatever the fuck the next election is, I don't care. I ain't American.
Yeah. We don't America.
Yeah. We Canada. It's all poutine and hockey up in here.
Yeah. We have elections whenever we want.
Yeah. And our elections are actually just hockey games. To vote, you have to get it past the goalie. So if people like supporting like the conservatives really suck at hockey, liberals take over or something. I don't fucking know how politics work. Anyway, moving on.
All right. So this next one is new. It's very new. Like last couple days, kind of new.
Okay.
But it's just so much in your ballpark that I just felt I had to mention it.
You have and my Bovies attention, too, please I continue. Guess, but
basically, as a quick setup, the end of the Meiji Restoration in Japan, there was Christianity wasn't all that. It wasn't good to be a Christian.
Woo!
In Japan for a while.
Fuck Christianity.
And apparently this is just the story of the manga. There was a saint in Japan, a Christian saint, who was burnt at the stake. And, you know, a century later, roughly the present day, 7 high school friends, I guess, they're acquaintances, let's call them, because they don't all necessarily get along with each other all that well.
They are aware of each other.
Yeah, they hang out. It's their group they go around with, but they don't. There are issues within the group.
Okay.
And
it's one of those issues, like walking around in a dress at night.
No, not like that. At least not so far. Anyway.
It'll happen. Fucking Anohana Vegeta will appear out of nowhere. I know his name's Yukihatsu, but I prefer to call him Anohana Vegeta.
Uh-huh.
Because basically who he fucking is. Or down to wearing girly clothes. Had, like, a few episodes where he's wearing pink all the time. Anyway.
Yes. So, this group of 7 high school kids. I forget where they are. I think they're on a school trip somewhere, and that's their group. And all of a sudden, they get lost in this mansion they're looking at. Or built on the site of, as it turns out, where this saint was burnt at the stake. And they accidentally step into an alternate dimension.
As you do.
Yeah. And the saint is there. Hooray! And she goes, "All right. You're the next 7 people I give this to. You're now effectively a nation unto yourselves. Huh. Every night at midnight, you will be randomly assigned either one of 3 positions. There's king slash queen, depending on your gender, aristocrats, and peasants." You know, it's a fairly standard hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Peasants are lower than aristocrats are lower than the king. There's one king, you know, one or 2 aristocrats, and the rest are peasants.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And the thing is that if you get an order from somebody higher up the food chain than you, you have to obey it. It's, you know, automatic.
Ooh. I could see this going some places.
But if three peasants get together, they can declare a revolution and overthrow the king and so on and so forth. And that's basically the quick primer of rules they're given about this. Things quickly start going poorly in the first couple days.
I can very easily imagine that.
Yeah.
Because remember, these are Japanese. Remember, these are like Japanese manga / anime high school students. They are insane.
Yeah. The first day, one of them tries to kill the other one.
Oh, joy.
Incidentally, interrupting the one's rape of somebody else as well.
Oh, joy!
Attempted rape, I guess, because, you know.
Didn't actually get to it.
It was stopped. And then it sort of goes, well, this is sort of minor spoiler from the beginning. The next day, our main character, Katori, is sort of the object of one of the girls in the group's affections. Sort of extremely so.
Okay.
And as soon as, and I think the second day, she becomes the queen. And she gets a little stalker-y immediately. And
she's the queen. She doesn't need stalkers. She doesn't need to stalk, sorry. She just order them. Hey, come over here. Do things to me.
That's essentially what happens.
And, okay, then.
But our main character, knowing, apparently, of this darkness inside this person, kind of gave everybody else the heads up to come and to come to the spot where they're all, where she was supposed to be secretly, well, raping him.
Very rape heavy story, I'm guessing.
Well, high school kids, hormones. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, and Japanese high school kids are that.
And so they all show up. He sent messages to everybody in the group that whoever is peasants, you need to come and declare revolution to stop whatever this thing is. She's going to try something. It's going to go poorly for me. I'm going to need you guys to call a revolution if it gets really, really out of hand.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. And so, as it turns out, a revolution is very, calling a revolution becomes very historically accurate all of a sudden. As when they call it, the person they called it to overthrow gets beheaded.
Ah. Okay.
So that's kind of a surprise at the end of the second chapter. To everybody involved.
Like, so, like, does... What? So, does someone appear behind them to decapitate them? Do the people who like call the revolution decapitate them, or does the head just fall off?
It's sort of a magic-y thing. The way they find out what they are is they have, when they went to this alternate reality, when they woke up again, they had these sort of tattoos on their forearms.
Mm-hmm.
that the symbol would change to the character for peasant, aristocrat, or king, queen, depending on what they were that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when they call a revolution, the person in question's tattoo kind of glows and comes off their hand, and, you know, big sort of bat-signally revolution thing appears in the light that came from the tattoo on the king's hand, and then it kind of starts spinning and comes around their head in like a loop and goes shwoop, and off comes the head.
Great decapitation sound effect.
Shwoop.
Yep, that's the automatopoeia for when you get your head cut off, kids.
Mm-hmm. And there's also been hints at other kingdoms around that they may have to fight or, you know, absorb into themselves to create, to get a bigger kingdom for themselves, to make their kingdom bigger. And they haven't run into any other kingdoms yet, but
they're there, maybe.
Yeah, they're around. There's more than one. Okay. Around.
So what's the series called again?
Okoku Game.
Okay, I don't think you ever actually said the name of the series when you're talking about it.
That may have, yeah.
See, I am definitely checking the series out. This sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, that's kind of why I brought it up. It's very much, hey, look at all this.
Yeah, shit's fucked. Enjoy. Yeah.
These people have poor relationships with each other.
And then they're put into positions where they could possibly rape or kill each other.
Yep.
Like any good Japanese high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Christianity, all about, well, yeah, kind of, actually.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the significance of mentioning the religion and stuff was. The only significance I've seen.
I'm guessing it's just, I guess it's like a bitch slap to Christianity.
These are the rules! Yeah. And then she's gone.
So, like, how long was the setup for, like, learning about the, you know, the saint that got, like, burned the stake in Japan and then got the house built over? Like, how long was that in the book? Was that just, like, a passing thing? Was that, like, pages of stuff? What are we talking about here?
It's like a, let's see, I'll read all the text. Shortly after the Meiji Restoration, the new government forbade Christian sects, and by the so-called forbidden religion verdict, a Christian prescription movement spread. In Kadoshina, a particular Christian religion existed secretly, but even there, plenty of martyrs emerged. On that occasion, the daughter of Takagi Nizaemon Sayo, a center figure in the Kadoshina Christians, was caught in the crowd. This building is the remains of the burned-down mansion where she was later made a saint, got killed on a cross like Christ. That's it. And that's one of the characters sort of reading off an information panel.
Okay.
At this place where they are. It's a single page.
Okay. So it's not a big thing then, from what I gather. You just kind of, oh, hey, we need a thing. What can we do? Oh, yeah, Christianity wasn't that great. Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, and the first two chapters are long. The first is 74 pages.
Damn.
And the second one is 47. So I'm not sure how frequent this is going to update, because those are, at the very most, monthly release page numbers. So, we'll have to see.
Yeah. It sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah. It is, so far. It's pretty good. I mean, the translation I have wasn't amazing. It's an ungraceful translation.
One of those.
Yeah. It's, you know, the speech seems very stilted and they make grammatical errors and stuff. But, you know.
Okay. Well, it's 25H that did this. They're not great. And I find it very strange that I've now got opinions on various scanlators. So anyway, anything else then?
No, that was my closer.
Okay then. I got three things to talk about, two of them we've talked about before.
Hooray!
So I went back and watched another episode of Cardfight Vanguard.
Not so hooray.
Yeah, I was kind of bored that day. And so, let me just say this. If you ever talk to us about card gaming shows, we will say that Cardfight Vanguard is the best of them. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's a very good show, though. It's a very good card game show.
Mm-hmm.
That qualifier needs to be in there because, my God,
it's time to duel.
There's none of that. Like, there's barely any of that, except the only time we ever get that is when the player sucks. And just going back, there are so many little things about the show that bug me so much. Like, there's one character. I forget his actual name, but another character calls him Luzumi. So I'm just going to call him that because he sucks. Like, seriously, as someone who now plays this game, he kind of pisses me off. With the fact that he sucks so much. Like, seriously, yeah. Like, my first game, I played better than him. And then there are also the mini groupies. So there's one character, I forget his name again, but I have actually play with his deck. He is the Nova Grappler guy, like the robot guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in love with the main character's little sister, because, you know, why not?
Hooray!
See, he has two girls that follow him around everywhere. And one of them is always like verbally sucking his dick as much as possible. And the other one, she does the exact same thing, but only by repeating the first two letters of two various words in her sentence. And that's it. Like she'll say like, yeah, go kick his ass. And then they'll go like, K-A. That's literally all she says. She only says two letters at a time. It is annoying as fuck. And usually it's, you know, the girl says, you know, one girl says actual words, the other girl just says letters. There's actually one time where the girl said letters and the other girl said the actual words that the other girl was trying to say. Meaning that it's not just some, like, cute little thing she does. I think she actually has a mental disability that prevents her from speaking in full sentences.
Hmm.
She can only speak two letters at a time, and it's very troubling. And this show is definitely a card game show.
It is of that level.
And I am not particularly a fan of card game shows. Like, yeah, I watched Yu-Gi-Oh! For a while, but that's back when I was stupid. Like, I went back recently to try to watch, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, and it was fine, but it was still a card game show. With really bizarre, kind of maybe racist things based on the color of your jacket. Like, seriously. It's kind of troubling. And I don't even want to get into the weird fucking, like, we're going to the fifth dimension on motorcycles to duel in a card game.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Fight against cartoons!
Yeah,
that's the original Yu-Gi-Oh, though. That's...
Yeah, that was the cartoon deck. I actually had that deck for a while.
Poor reference.
Like, go in here and use, like, Heart of the Cards, and I don't know, I summon Karibo, who does nothing, but is actually, like, the greatest card in the game, because fuck you.
I just remember that one line in the 4Kids dub. When he beats Pegasus. Using, I think the final thing is, like, the catapult turtle with Karibo's. And he shoots it at them. And he shoots the Karibos with the catapult turtle. Which I don't think is even possible in the actual game. But
no. That show is notorious for not knowing how to play its own game.
Yeah, but Maximilian Pegasus, the main villain in the original series, says, in these exact words, curse you, Yugimoto, and all your Karibos.
That is a great line. That is a terrible, but that is a terribly great line. Thank you, 4Kids dub. I hope that line was in the original show. I sincerely doubt it, but I also sincerely hope for it. Just imagine that line delivered in, like, the insane, over-the-top Japanese style.
Yeah.
It was so good. Okay, so, Carmen Vanguard, it's a card game show.
It's the exact same as it was.
Yeah. Bovi and I spent so much time building it up in our heads of what we think the show actually is, like, how it is. Like, oh, it's the great, like, oh, it's the greatest card game show ever because, you know, it's fucking, you know, stuff. But then I go back and watch it, like, oh, wait, it's still a card game show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so moving on. Something else I talked about before, Gargantua on the Verdurous Planet.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Things are happening. Really?
Things.
Really good things that kind of they basically destroy what Leto, the main character, knows about his existence entirely.
Yeah.
And possibly emotionally scar him for life. They're so good. And I want to talk
the
about
humans
I'm not
that
sure.
Were in space were like is actually just the clone army and his mother never loved him.
No.
No? Okay.
In the same vein, but no. So, I'm not sure if I actually should spoil this, because the episode that like this was revealed in came out like this past Sunday.
Yeah.
So...
might want to let keep that, sit on that one for a bit.
Okay, yeah, I'll... From what I understand, the general, like, grace period, or I guess like the statute of limitations on spoilers is like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So
more or less.
If I still feel like talking about this in like next episode, I will.
So things are happening.
Good things. Really, really good things. And the relation, and as we all know, if one character who's an emotionally stunted person meets an overly emotional person, those two will eventually get together in anime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening in this, but it's not going with the same bullshit of, like in most anime, everyone will know they're supposed to get together. Like, even the characters themselves will know they're supposed to get together, but they'll never actually do anything. They'll never even mention that they have any feelings for each other until, like, the last 5 episodes.
Yeah.
In here, we've gotten, like, 7 episodes in, and the female of the group is already almost getting to the point where she admits that she loves the guy. Which I really hope, I desperately hope, that they actually do make something of this, because so many series, they do this, they build something out like this, and then it amounts to jack dick. The example that keeps coming to my head is Durarara. Because in Durarara, Ryugamine and Onri, those two are like the main couple. And literally every person says they're meant to be together. Like Celtie, in one of the few instances where she actually talks with her comedy, she actually just mentions, hey, you two are destined to be together. At the end of the series, they're the only couple not together.
I mean, there's other couples that got together.
Yes, but not the main ones. Like these are ones that, these are ones like in the background. These are ones that, okay, we know what's going to happen. What about Rigami and Henri? Like, they, like, at no point does fucking Celtie and, no one say about Celtie and Shinra, you guys are destined to be the editor. Never does anyone say that. Except for Shinra. and that doesn't count. Because Shinra is part of the couple.
Because he's fucked up.
Yeah.
He just says that all the time.
I love headless bitches. And then, you know, there's Kida and his hospital girlfriend. They run off, I guess.
Yeah, they...
And then... And then Rinnegan and Henri, they're on a roof, looking through a fence. Then they leave.
Yeah, to... With their personal armies.
Yes, because they both have personal armies. Like most high school students. That show's been out for years, man.
I know. That's why really didn't make a fuss.
Yeah, it... They built it up so goddamn much. Like, the fucking Headless Horseman of Death said, you guys are meant to be together. And they're not. Pisses me off.
I mean, even Izaya got together with Simon's Fist.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was happy except for the main two. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and for that reason specifically, is why I like Sword Art Online. Which is the next series gonna be talking about.
Oh yeah?
Segways, bitches.
Ooh, yeah. Speaking of segways.
Get it? Sword Art, yeah. So Sword Art Online. I really do like this show, but only the first 14 episodes. So this show, for those who don't know, is based on like a series of light novels and a manga thing. And so what it is a character named Kirito is he's a beta test. He was a beta tester for this online game Sword Art Online. It is a revolutionary new genre called VMMORPGs. Virtual MMO.
Yeah.
It's basically an MMO, but it uses, like, the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the game launches, and they only made 10,000 copies, which is a really shit number to make for an MMO. Just saying. And also, MMOs on discs? Seriously? In 2025?
I don't think it's strictly on discs, is it?
Yeah, like, there are people waiting in line to pick up this game, and they only made 10,000 copies, and there were only 10,000 people in the world, so no digital copies were sold.
I don't think it's actually discs. You could be picking up a physical copy, but it's probably like a cartridge you put into the Nerve Gear.
We never see... It doesn't look like there's any guy who's cartridges.
You never actually really see the... You see a box.
Yeah, we see...
For the game.
There's apparently storage on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the Nerve Gear. It uses the Nerve Gear, which is this virtual reality thing. You plug it in, and then they say that it, like, receives the signals that your body, like your brain sends to your body and interrupts them and brings them over to your character instead of your actual body.
Yeah.
Which
it interrupts your motor function in the physical world and puts that into your character.
Yeah. Yeah, and so anyway, so the game launches, everything's going fine. But then, like, Kirito tries to Kirito and his new friend Klein, they try to log out. And they can't. Because there is no logout option.
Yeah, there's no logout button.
Yeah. So they head back to the main town, the Town of Beginnings, I believe they call it. And then the source of all evil from Buffy shows up.
Nathan Fillion?
Oh, no, wait, I'm thinking of the source of evil from Charmed.
I'm not even sure if forget the character's name. Caleb. I don't think Caleb was supposed to be the source of all evil.
No, he was a servant of the source of all evil.
Yeah, he was a...
Like, he got his powers from the source.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, so this guy showed up, and he says he is Kayaba Akihiko, the guy who created the game. I says, hey, guess what? You fuckers can't leave. Yeah, I have done some science to you, and now you can never log out. If you try to log out, if you die in this world, you will die in real life. The nerve gear will emit fucking microwaves that will fry your brain.
Yeah.
If someone tries to forcibly remove the thing, the same will happen. Have fun, bitches. GG. It pisses off. And obviously, this causes some panic.
Yeah.
And people, like, freak the balls out. And the only way they can leave, according to Akihiko, is to beat all 100 floors. Because, you know, MMOs, they have clearly set end game goals, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway, so then the series, it just kind of jumps ahead, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
So the people they've got, they have, like, kind of started to acclimatize themselves to this world. They are still, like, there are obviously people who, obviously, they're, like, the end goal is still in sight. They say, hey, we gotta get to floor 100, we gotta beat them in final boss, we gotta get out of here. But then there are some, like, they've stopped panicking and committing mass suicides.
Which happened.
Yes. There's literally a scene later on in the show that is just, like, lines of people jumping off a bridge. Into nothingness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, yeah, so then at this point, like, some guy is, like, rallying up troops, you know, hey, we gotta go beat this boss to this floor, we gotta continue on. And then some guy says, hey, fuck beta testers, right?
Yeah. I never quite understood the whole beaters thing.
The beaters thing, from what I understand of it, so the beta testers, they got a chance to play the game beforehand. They were able to, you know, try the game before. And so, and like all the, like all the guide manuals, like the instruction manuals for how to play the game, the boss, like strategies and stuff, those were all compiled for beta tester data. So from what I understand of it, it is the beta testers, they have an unfair advantage in this world because, you know, they've played it before. They understand the systems better than everyone else.
Yeah,
and so the beta testers who don't help anyone, they're like, oh fuck them, and the other guy, like Kirito, like the one, like it's the guy Kibao, like Kaibao, I think his name is. He says, he's like, you're a beta tester, man. No, you're a cheater. You're a beater. And I was like, okay, cool. Sounds cool. Let's do it. It was basically It was basically like the equivalent of some asshole saying, "Fucking noob team, an asshole," in Call of Duty.
Yeah, like, I get the idea behind why people are called it, but it just makes no sense.
Yeah, but remember, some asshole coined it in a video game.
Yeah, I know. I was like, you're trying to get out. They are also trying to get out.
But they're not helping. Because as we all know, one guy saves all your asses. Every single beta tester's out for themselves and fuck everyone else.
Yeah.
It makes no logical sense in the real world, but in a video game, it makes a bit more.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. Like, the guy who wrote this, I have a feeling that he understands, like, video game culture a bit, in terms of, like, actual, like, assholes on the internet, but he didn't, like, take that into account that, oh, wait, this is actually kind of their real world now.
Yeah. But yeah, actually, I've read not the Sword Art Online visual novels, I don't think. Actually, maybe I did. But I read the second two games, because I think the series only covers the ALO.
It gets up to ALO, which I'll get into.
Yeah.
But then it continues on to other games.
Yes.
I think the anime covers the first four books.
Okay.
Yeah, from what I understand.
But yeah, I actually really enjoyed the third game he gets into. I forget what it's called. But it's like a shooter kind of, it's like a war shooter kind of thing.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, and it's so, not yeah. so much he's trying to save somebody specific as he... He's just playing this for fun and stumbles on a conspiracy kind of thing.
Yeah, isn't it like he investigates a murder?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, so back to this thing. So yeah, after he gets coined to beater, it flashes forward another 2 years. Or something. I don't fucking know. Yeah, the series jumps around in time a lot, and I've heard some complaints that, like, because of this, there's not exactly a lot of chance for, like, character development stuff, but I actually really enjoyed it. Anyone who's played an MMO, the basis of an MMO is grinding.
Yeah.
Just going to an area and doing the same thing over and over and over again. Do you really want to watch an episode of a guy killing the same monster over and over and over again? I'm guessing not.
Yeah.
But yeah, so one of the reasons I like Sword Art Online is because of the relationship stuff, is because the relationship, it develops and then has conclusion and then continues on after that conclusion, and it's nice and it's fucking something I rarely see in goddamn shonen series. It's so good. Yeah. So the thing is, around the point where he's coined a beater, he meets a girl named Asuna. And she is fucking awesome. She eventually becomes, like, the second-in-command of one of the strongest guilds in the entire game. She's known as, like, Lightning Flash or something, because she's able to, like, stab dudes 80 billion times in half a second.
Mm-hmm.
She has an insanely high attack speed. Because, you know, stats and shit.
Yep.
And they don't ever try to make her like a total like serious badass action chick. She is fucking badass, but she's also able to be, you know, a girl, which is really nice. And so these two, they meet each other at the beginning, and then, you know, flash forward a few years and they have kind of like drifted apart because, you know, she's like the second in command of like the strongest guild in the game, and he is a solo player. He is just rolling shit by himself.
Yeah.
Because he's a beater. It's what they do. Mm-hmm. And the two of them, they like meet together again after years, and they form a relationship, and it's a really great relationship, I feel. Like, it's like things move pretty quickly, but, you know, it's a world where they can, where like almost anything can kill them. There are horrible stat things happening everywhere. It makes sense that they, you know, get into things pretty quickly. They develop emotions quickly. They'd get in the relationship quickly. They'd, you know, get married quickly. It makes sense. And that's what they do. They fucking get married. And again, like, Asuna, she's still fucking badass, but she still can be a girl. Like, Kirito is kind of the bitch in the relationship, but it's okay. It fits. And they go really well together. They even adopt a kid. Which is an AI.
Mm-hmm.
But it is refreshing to see a series where the relationship not only happens, like, not only gets developed and, like, fucking builds up to a reasonable conclusion, but then it also continues on. And all this happens in the first, like, quarter of the series. That is fucking unprecedented. It's so good. And then the second half happens, and they shit all over it. Yeah, so this series is 25 episodes. The first 14 are all about Sword Art Online and trying to get out of it. But the 14th episode, they do get out of it. Like, Kirito, he finds Kaiba Akihiko, who was setting himself up to the final boss. But then Kirito found out about it beforehand and kicks his ass. And so, yeah, then the game is saved. Everyone gets released. Except for 300 people. 300 people are still logged into the game gear. Logged into the Nerve gear. Why did I say game gear?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so Asuna is one of them. It turns out that all of this was actually a plan by some guy who wants to marry and possibly rape a 17-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the series kind of takes a shit on itself in my book. Because before, there wasn't really a villain. Like, yeah, Kaiba Akihiko was there. But people weren't actively trying to fight him. People weren't actively trying to find him or destroy him or anything. It was just, He's there. He did this thing. Okay, let's get on with our lives. And, like, the thing, that was refreshing. It was nice to know that there wasn't just some, like, overlooming asshole, like, watching everything they do, and everyone was, like, trying to stop him, and he was, like, manipulating everything so, like, he could... He would just kind of, hey, I made this world. Do things. And I'll sit here and watch. And it was nice. But then with this one, they have a clear bad guy who's clearly evil because he's laughing maniacally all the time, smiling like a snake, sniffing and licking a 17-year-old girl in a coma. And they constantly keep cutting back to him doing these things over and over again throughout the series. Throughout, like, the last 10 episodes of the show. And it's just such a bizarre tonal shift from what it was before. And also another big shift happened with Asuna. Because before she was, you know, fucking badass warrior chick. And now she's in a dress in a cage the entire series. And tentacle rape. I'm not even kidding. And it just feels... And it felt like with that one, they were just trying to get into a more, like, standard type of story. Which, from the previous one, going into this, it felt wrong. It felt like a step backwards in terms of storytelling for me. And, yeah, it... Like, going from like, a guy with ambiguous morals, like, creating this world and then trapping everyone in it, then the people decide, like, people just kind of getting along with things in there, to cackling asshole has your girlfriend go to the castle and fight him.
Well, to be fair, at the beginning, he doesn't really know that the guy has her. Yeah, he knows she's there.
Yeah, but still, it's, again, it's your girlfriend's in a castle, go save her.
Mm-hmm.
They went from some, like, really kind of interesting RPG thing to Mario. And also, another thing that happens with the second thing is a lot of the tension is gone. Because previously, if you died in Sword Art Online, you died for real. Death had weight. In this one, Alfheim Online, which is the second game he goes into, because his girlfriend and the other 300 people were trapped inside Alfheim Online after Sword Art Online got released. Because this guy, he used the code to build this new game and then trap the 300 minds in there for science.
Yeah. Quote-unquote science.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to cause pain, so that makes me be able to mind control people. Fucking science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, he traps them all in there, and... But that's it. Like, there is no actual consequence for death. Like, everyone in the game is like, oh my god, we'll get the death penalty. Like, the death penalty would be really great for this one. But we have no idea what the death penalty actually is. Like, is it an experience point thing? Is it a money thing? Is it an equipment thing? What is it? We have no idea what it is. We have no idea how it affects the world overall in terms of, like, what the character is able to do. It just is there.
Yeah, I think you lose a shit ton of stats.
Ooh. It's so horrible that you lost stats.
Yeah.
But again, like, losing stats and dying.
Well, yeah. But this is just a game now.
Yes, exactly.
A life or death thing.
It's just a game now. It is a step down. They went from, like, game as life, like some really insane fucking thing where everything you did had consequences. Like, your death had consequences. Killing people had consequences. And now it's just, oh, hey, it's a game. Do whatever. I don't fucking care. And also, another thing that they maybe, I might have explained, I just missed it, but it didn't make a lot of sense. So, in Sword Art Online, there are certain people that have, like, unique skills that no one else has. Kirito has the ability of dual wielding. So he's able to have two swords in hand. So he's able to equip two swords instead of just one. Like, most people, they can only equip a sword and a shield. He has the ability to equip two swords.
Mm-hmm.
And he was given this ability by Akihiko because he had the fastest reaction time. Then he goes into Sword Art Online, goes into Alfheim Online, sorry. Which is built on the same engine as Sword Art. And so because of this, he was able to carry over a lot of his stats, which isn't really how games work, but whatever.
But, you know, comes out that Akihiko was sort of fiddling behind the scenes with things that.
Yeah, but
Or his
okay,
AI
that.
Spectre, or Akihiko's AI Spectre.
But that is never really explained until like the very, very end. And even then, it was kind of ambiguous, what I remember. But like, did Akihiko give him back the dual wield skill? Because when he first came into Alfheim, he lost that skill because this world doesn't have dual wielding, from what I understand. And then just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just, oh, hey, yeah, I can dual wield now. Whatevs.
Is that just towards the end? Or
I think like around like episode 20 maybe. It's like he's fighting a dude. Wait, he was I think he was actually fighting that guy with like the demon sword thing. He was trying to stop the weird like diplomatic meeting that was happening between two other elf clans. Like the salamanders were coming and then like they were fighting and a sword goes flying into the air and like Kirito grabs it and starts like fucking wailing on the guy. But yeah, it's never explained if like did Akihiko give it to him, why did he give it to him, how did he give it to him? Was it's never shown like, oh, he got this skill and then it's been like hiding it all this time. It's just, oh hey, he has it now.
I think it was the combat system is less formulaic in Alfheim, I think is what it was. That it was more based on what you could actually do rather than making a proper movement and then the game's programming just takes care of the rest of the attack. So
And I don't think it ever, I don't think
it's
it ever actually
very.
like explicitly said that. I might have to go back and watch it, but I don't remember it being explicitly said like that. I just remember, oh hey, look, two swords now. Okay.
Like, as far as I know, it was set up that if you could do whatever, you could do it. You know, I haven't really watched the show extensively, but and I've only read the light novels, so.
Yeah. They might have explained it more in the novels.
Yes.
Yeah, but in the show, I don't remember them ever explicitly stating any of that, and it just kind of happens. And another thing that is really weird with Alfheim Online, the utter racism in it. With no goddamn reason. So in Alfheim, there are five races you can be. There are cat people, elves from anything ever, raging assholes, a fourth one, and the Spriggan, the mercenary people. Everyone hates the mercenaries. They hate the Spriggans with a fiery passion. Never explained why. Ever.
Presumably because there are a lot of assholes who were the mercenary people earlier on in the game.
Yeah, but again, it's never explained. And like they say, oh, you fucking Spriggans, you assholes, only in it for yourself. Without any idea what these guys are like, they could just be, hey, I like to wear black. And like everyone in and like everyone in certain clans, they are just horrible raging assholes to every single person ever. Like anyone who isn't them, they hate. Which makes very little sense. Like it would make sense if they set it up as like a kind of like alliance horde thing. But it's not. It's just there are each of these individual people. They all have the same goal. Everyone hates everyone.
Oh, yeah, they all have the same goal that only one of them can claim.
Yeah, it's yeah, but that's like every other MMO. If you get
Yeah,
like
and like every other MMO, there's animosity between clans.
I do not like this. I do not like the last 10 episodes of this show. It sets it up in a very weird game where the stakes are incredibly lowered. Everything is just toned down and way more generic stuff. But I will say this: it's interesting when they show the real world stuff. They show the impact that playing that these games have had on the real world. Like I feel like if the last 10 episodes of the show had have been showing what happened in the 2 years that everyone was in the Nerve Gears. that would have been, I feel like that would have been way more interesting. I feel like just showing how the real world reacted to 10,000 people, mostly children, like a good chunk of it children, being like trapped inside this game, how that actually happened, and like showing how the families reacted, how, like, would there be some weird crossover between families? Would they interact with each other at all? That would have been kind of cool to see. But instead, it's guy has girlfriend, save girlfriend. I didn't like the second half of the show. So that's what we're watching then.
Yep.
On to news.
Hooray!
So, our first piece of news. Gargantia. So, Enter Brain's Famitsu Comic Clear online publication will be launching a new manga today. Following a character from Gargantia, Bellows, the salvager of the Gargantia fleet. So the series is called Gargantia on the Verger's Planet, Mizuhana no Bellows. I also saw another article crediting it as Bellows on Gargantia of the Verger's Planets, but I prefer the other one, so fuck you. So the series will explore her origins as well as her initial like inspiration to become a salvager and how she inherited her company and stuff. That article that called it Bells of the Verger's Planet also said that it may show how she found Leto and Chamber at the bottom of the ocean. But I wouldn't put too much precedent in that. So the manga is being drawn by Shu, based on the story by the anime's Oceanus team, with story collaboration by Hideko Uchida. It'll also be using original character designs from Hanahura Nanako, and the series will be under the supervision of Production IG. And so yeah, this is all launching today, June 7th. By the way, sorry this podcast is late.
Yes.
Stuff happened.
Hooray! Stuff!
Yeah.
So moving on to our next piece. Boo stuff.
Yeah, so moving on to our next piece of news. Two new characters have been announced for the Shonen Jump's 45th anniversary fighting game, J-Star's Victory Versus. So the two new characters are Ichigo from Bleach. And Kenshin Himura from Rurouni Kenshin. Yeah. I've never heard of him.
I've never watched the show, but he sounds like the main character.
Yeah, I think he is. He looks like a main character.
I can think of what he looks like in my head, but...
Yeah, so... Yeah, this is happening. We have two new characters, one of whom, you know, figured, but the other one I didn't really know. So, Samurai X, as it's also called, is like one of Shonen Jump's most popular manga, and this guy's a fan favorite character. So yeah, it looks like they're delving into more of the, like, they're obviously focusing more on the Japan statistics and stuff, like the Japan favorites and series and stuff, and not just over her. Which is good.
Yes.
Which is really good.
You know, because Japan's their primary market and whatnot. Yeah.
I know, I just figured, you know, hey, look. Hey, look, Western people. Manga's cool, right? You like fighting games?
I'm sure the game will eventually have a release over here.
But... Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's... I am actually looking forward to this game. I kind of want to get a PS3 now to play it. I would like to fight. I would like to just fight these guys all together. It'd be really cool, I think. Yeah, so moving on to the next
piece
of news.
We'll have to see.
So moving on to our next piece of news. So the July issue of Square Enix's monthly Shonen Gangan magazine announced that Asushi Okubo, the guy who made Soul Eater, will be ending Soul Eater in two more chapters. If the magazine runs it without a break, the manga will be coming to an end in the September issue, which goes on sale on August 12th. So yeah, Soul Eater's coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would feel a bit more off about if I was still reading it. I don't know what happened. Like, I got to, like, the weird Russian stuff, and then it just kind of dropped off.
Yeah, it happens with series and such.
Yeah, I feel like I guess because I was, like, reading a lot at the time. Like, it was around this time where, like, Cage of Eden was still being updated regularly, like, other stuff was being updated regularly that I was reading, like, everything, basically. Yeah. Then moving on to our final piece of news. So the July issue of Kadokawa Shoten's monthly New Type magazine announced that an anime adaptation was greenlit for the series Riddle Story of Devil, also known as Akamono Devil. Yeah. So the story is, for those who don't know, is set at the Myojo Academy, a private girls' boarding school. In the tenth year, Kurogumi class, all the students are assassins, with one target, a girl named Haruka Ichinose. A new student transfers in, Tokaku Azuma, who is also an assassin targeting Ichinose, but she eventually falls in love with her. And that...
So it's that kind of series, is it?
Yes.
Good old lesbians.
Who doesn't love lesbians? I'm being serious. See, that's been greenlit. No word on any kind of release date for it, but I want to check that out. It sounds kind of cool. And as I stated, I'm a fan of lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's good to do it for this week, I guess. Thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I'm at Deadman_DDProds. While Bovion is not here, you can follow Bovion at Bovion and Patron Does Not Believe in Twitter. Yep. You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DeathStoreProds. Visit myself and YouTube.com/Bovion. Patron does not use YouTube that way. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us reviews. Let us know we want to see more, less, etc. And we are on Stitcher, so download the app, check us out on there. This week on the website, we're going to be hosting today a commentary track for Total Recall as part of Horrible Remake Month, and also a special dry run style commentary track introducing new people to the site, Female Indie and Kim O.D. We're watching Waterworld. Oh, did we watch Waterworld? That movie is so pedo. Like, everyone. Yeah, and then, see, that's all happening. Then on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll be having the Anything Cast Live. Please join us at longgames.com/chat. We'd love to hear from you guys and think about what we're doing with the website and everything. Then, E3 is next week.
Ah!
I'm gonna die. Again. I don't know. I don't. E3, man.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it because you're a fucking anime correspondent. Yeah. We'll be trying to put out regular content, like for comics on Wednesday, movies on Fridays, as well as commentary track for Planet of the Apes. But if things are a bit late, blame E3. Also, next week we'll be starting the anime club for Kokoro Connect.
So we will.
So we take a look at the first two episodes next week. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
And I am Patatron.
E3!